This is the Mason Vera Payne Show, your go-to lifestyle program, covering everything from technology and gaming, to movies, TV shows and pop culture, to the supernatural and beyond. Brought to you from Chicago, USA, with your host, the unabridged millennial, Mason Vera Payne.
Mason Payne here live from the NVP studios in Chicago, and thank you for tuning in. InVin Global esports reporter Nick Gerasi is here to give his thoughts about set and discuss what League of Legends characters should be removed or reworked. Now, since I haven't talked to you for so long, I never got a chance to ask you, what do you think of Set?
Holy hell, he is broken. Okay, like, because objectively, this type of champion shouldn't function, right? Like he can be kited, like, he has, like, a short dash, which isn't that big. His haymaker punch isn't that big. Like, he shouldn't work, but he just has so many tools available that, like, it kind of overrides the inadequacies of his kit, right? Like, he doesn't have a dash. He doesn't have a reliable form of CC engage. He's just this big dude with a bunch of fists, and he's able to do it because he has incredible base stats. The shield he gets off of his haymaker is incredible. It depends on, like, you know, like, how low you are. So you can get a big shield, which sometimes is all he needs to make a big impact in a team fight. A good set player knows how to make all the impact they need, even if they don't last till the end of it. So it's really about taking advantage of these windows of opportunity and the fact that beefy frontliners are pretty popular in the meta right now, and Set can just take one of those as ult and showstopper them into the backline in a meta where Aphelios, Misfortune, these champions that are really, really strong in the carry roles aren't the most mobile. So I think he's having kind of a field day in where he's like a bruiser, but because of the unique aspects of his kit, in the right situations, he has the reliability engage of a full-on tank.
You know, what's going to be really unfortunate is that Set has such a unique kit. I like the what they had with the vision for him, even though he's overpowered right now. But they're going to nerf him to the point where he's unplayable. And I think that's going to be the bad part. It's going to remind me of, like, Sylas, where it's just just not good anymore. And then what's the point of having these champions in this game if you're just going to create them and then kind of, in a way, kill them off?
I completely agree. But I do think that in Set's case, there is, like, a relatively straightforward path into where, like, if he's too strong and top. And, yeah, he's not unbeatable. He's not, like, you know, I would say Ornn is a far bigger problem than Set right now in most cases. But, like, Set, you know, an easy fix could be, hey, let's lower the cooldown on his, like, I forget what it's called, but his, like, the punch where he dashes forward a little bit. So he has a little bit more, like, foam mobility, and then lower his base stats so he's not incredibly strong into every top lane matchup, so he can be exploited, but he also has more tools to be more mobile. That could also even push him in the realm of being a strong jungler. We saw Dardoch on TSM take Set jungle, which is great because they drafted it early. The opponent assumed it was top lane, and they flushed it into the jungle and had a great time with it because he was able to build the Stalker's Blade. He was able to get that blue smite to slow people down, and then he was able to close the gap, and it kind of, almost in playing him in this role, it fixed a lot of the intrinsic problems that has that for him to work, certain parts of his kit do need to be broken as hell, right? So maybe that's the future for him. Maybe he's a better future, healthier future as a jungler. I'm not really sure. I do think that he is going to be an easier champion to balance, but, you know, there are these champions that they work because they're overtuned, and then, you know, when they come out and they nerf them and we ever see them again, that's not really a fix. That's just a removal.
Now, this was to lead to the big finale. Okay, so what champions do you think should be reworked, removed from the game?
Okay, so first of all, we've talked a lot about this pick in the last few shows, and I would have to say the first one is, and by the way, none of these are removals. I really believe that there's no need to fully remove any champion from the game, but I do think there are certain champions where I'm like, okay, this just needs to be reworked for sure. Then there's other champions where I'm like, the new rework of them is terrible, it needs to be reverted, like the Kog'Maw, right? You know, like, there's certain kits that cannot be fixed, in my opinion, but that doesn't mean the champion needs to be removed. So we've talked about, like, you know, very minimal buffs to Teemo across Season 9. That didn't end up leading to anything. So I think that that's a very, very easy and quick one. I know he's a joke character, and it's supposed to be kind of fun, but, like, he's very binary. He doesn't really, like, have a place in League of Legends right now. Like, we've talked about, either to, like, smash lane when it's super hard, or he does nothing because he doesn't have really much of a team fight presence. His kit doesn't make sense in how mobile, how CC and team-based the game is overall, right? So, and then there are other champions who in the same way fall into that category, just that their kit is so binary and their defined strengths are simply too outdated to make their inadequacies worth picking. Even though we've seen him recently, I do think that Tryndamere needs a full-on rework. We saw him played in Korea competitively, And while I do think, like I said, he has defined strength, he can't do anything. Like, he's, you know what he's going to be able to do in lane, which is just push you in and try to, like, you know, one of the lanes going to split push the whole time. He's never going to team fight. And these type of, like, you know, if they want League of Legends to become a more versatile game, there's certain kits that are just, like, no longer in that category. So that's two. Let's see. I'll try to keep it shorter for the next one. But I think that another champion that falls into that category, specifically if we're talking about older picks, is Master Yi. I feel like he either carries the whole game in a crazy unstoppable way that no one can do anything about, or he is completely useless and basically a minion with a sword. So that's three. Four, I would really like to see some changes to Zoe, just to switch gears a little bit. I think that she objectively is, like, she's obviously strong. But there are certain things that are in her kit that I just don't think make sense, like that you can randomly just pick up summoner spells or item actives, like, out of nowhere. I feel like it's a lot like how Azir used to have. He can just randomly do more damage to turrets for no reason with his W passive, and it's like, that doesn't make any sense. You know, like, so I think there's, like, certain things like that for Zoe. I also think Akali, we're now still seeing Akali played somewhat, even though she's been nerfed 15 times since her last buff. That's because her Shroud ability is simply too strong. Like that's just, like, that type of true sight. Even when they change without the turret, we still see her a lot. For her to not be completely busted, they need to put her where she is right now, which is in the trash. She's so bad right now because they just nerfed her stats into oblivion because they can't figure out how to balance this kit. I think you could even go ahead and say the same thing about Aphelios. I think that if, while he is a new champion, he's fun, he's incredibly overtuned. He has five different guns. No one seems to know what he does, even the top minds of the game. And I fear that without core drastic changes to his kit, if we're just talking about little balances, it's going to be a matter of, well, he's going to be broken until we put him in the dumpster in terms of his stats, right? That's what it comes down to. So that's six right there. Let's see. I think that, like I said, there are a lot of culprits on this list, but I'm trying to keep it down to 10. So I think another one that really just, like, bums me out is Wukong. I think the champion's design is so cool, and in the past his ultimate was so game changing, but now the game is just his ultimate doesn't provide the impact it does because of how much more mobile champions are since Wukong was released like 7 or 8 years ago. So I think, like, he just doesn't have, like, a way to, like, fit into any role in terms of how the game is played. His matchups are now, like, all terrible. Like, he simply doesn't have a way to exist on the Rift. That's why Wukong mains at high elo are so scary, because, like, this champion shouldn't work. So if this guy's good with it, he knows something I don't, and he's going to destroy me. Like, I do not like running into Wukong mains in solo queue because they're always masters and they're always terrifying. So there's three more picks. Who should I pick for my most lucky, let's see, who are my most lucky picks here? This is going to be unpopular, but I really just am not a fan of Ryze. I know that Ryze has always been a mainstay in League of Legends, but he's already experienced 4 full reworks since the game's release, and we still have a problem where he's, like, either, like, going to be one of the, like, the 5 best picks in the mid lane, right? Or he's going to be absolutely obsolete. And I think that he can be tanky and provide damage because of his low cooldowns. And if, like, again, we've only ever seen Ryze in a state where he's really good or just, like, non-existent. You know, it's a lot of the same problem. And these are the kits that I think need to be reworked, because it's, like, they can't function in the game. Like, the way that they interact directly is simply too difficult for them to balance, right? Let's see, two more. I'm going to take a look down the list here. Okay, yeah. I think that while he did get a rework, I do think that there could be things done to make Warwick a little more interesting. I don't think he's as damning as the other ones that I mentioned, but I do think there's more that can be done with him to make him less binary to play and less frustrating to play against. And then my last one would actually be Aatrox. I know Aatrox's rework has been really, really good, but again, he's kind of in that Akali situation where they've nerfed him several times. They've changed things. He's still too strong. I think he's going to just offer too much. He can play the front line despite being a bruiser because his ultimate can give him a second life. Because of the way his abilities interact, he has incredible AoE damage, which also then gives him very good wave clear. Most bruisers don't have the greatest wave clear for minions as a drawback. And that's why we see Aatrox so often. Like, Aatrox has been a top lane pick in the meta since he was reworked. And that was, like, nearly 2 years ago now. So while some of these kits are, like, obviously just outdated, there's other ones that are not outdated that I think are just simply overtuned, or while it was an ambitious idea, it may not be the best idea, you know? And even a lot of Aatrox players in the community have called for an older rework. People come, like, the Aatrox main subreddit and stuff. There's a lot of people who would prefer that. So I think there's, like, obviously different reasons to these, but those are kind of the 10 picks that service to me, either because of how outdated they are or how prevalent they are, despite being problematic.
Now, I was a fan of removing some champions, only because my thought process is that there are just too many on the board right now. And if we want some really good champions like Set, he's really great design. I like how they were, what direction they were going in. And these older champions just can't keep up. And if we keep trying to fix the older champions, we're going to end up stunting the growth of the newer ones. I think cull the old and let the new survive. So here's my list. I say to remove Teemo. He's trash anyways. And Wukong. I used to main Wukong for a long time. And he's just not viable anymore. It's like you said, either you're really, really good or you're just going to be really terrible. It's a 50-50 champion. And it's a lot of it is because you can't survive against these newer ones. It's not like you're going up against Garen anymore. You're going up against Orin.
Exactly. It's, crushed by all the new matchups,
Exactly. And it's so hard to learn all of the matchups. And then it's not just the top lane matchups. Now you have other people coming in. Like, oh, you have Lissandra coming to top. Akali's coming to top. So in, like before, you kind of figured how to play against a tank and a bruiser. Now you have to do an AP. Now you have to, it's like, what's going on here? I have to deal with an assassin.
Right.
And it just gets harder.
Yeah, the flexibility of all the roles has made certain champions that really need those specific types of matchups to thrive, that they used to get more often in their lanes. It's become a lot more diverse, and that's made it a lot, you know, makes them a lot less safe to pick earlier, blind pick or anything, you know?
And that's why I say to remove them, because in this case, you don't have to worry about programming them, coding them, bringing them back up, any, you know, quality of life or rework, none of that. We can just focus on the new people. And Ezreal, I think, should be removed. After they took out the, just had a brain fart. Kleptomaniacy? Yes. After they took out Klepto, he's useless. And unless you're incredibly good with Ezreal, that's another 50-50 character where either you're going to be really good or you're going to be really bad. And even if you're really good, it's such a heavy carry. He needs at least three items to be pretty good. Unless you're platinum or you're challenger and you can do it with two. it's not going to happen.
I get where you're coming from. I think objectively, like, Ezreal can and still is played by, but you're right, by people who are only very good at him. But because of the uniqueness of his kit, I'm kind of okay with that. Yeah, I understand your methodology. So that one, I'm personally, like, I think that he'd still be okay because, yeah, you're right. I think that you shouldn't pick Ezreal right now unless you know how to play Ezreal. Like, if you're like, if someone's like, oh, I've never played Ezreal before, should I try him? And I'm like,
no.
Not unless you really want to. You know? Like you said, he has very defined strengths that are kind of old, and he's been able to survive because of the uniqueness of those strengths. But yeah, I completely agree.
I mean, when you think about it, if he gets reworked, he's going to get overpowered because some of the things that would change in his kit, some would still stay the same. His R would still be, you know, he would still throw out his projectile. He would still blink. He would still put a band around you and, like, do an extra damage. And it's like, man, everything about his kit is so unique that if they changed anything about him, he's going to get overpowered. At this point, it's a weird little balance that some of these champions are at. I think it's just healthier for the game overall to remove them. Here's one to remove, and I'm not sure if you would agree on this one. Anivia. I really like her. I think she has a great concept.
That's the one I forgot to mention. I love her too, but she's so outdated.
Isn't she? It's like when anybody gets her, I'm about 80% in my mind. I'm like, this is a troll because all they're going to do is put up the wall and then like get you killed. I think she's more of a troll champion than she is viable. And I think that's such a shame because she has such a great concept that I really want her to work. But that's another one that when you do a rework on her, I think she's just going to, you'll lose the very essence of what she is. And it'll just be a really bad champion.
I completely agree. It really is that Anivia was created at a time where having five people mid and sieging mid lane was actually the best way to play the game. And there was a lot less mobility, and she had this wall she could trap you in with a lot of other characters' moves that was much stronger than it used to be now. Characters are a lot more mobile, a lot of people can blink through walls, etc., right? And, you know, that siege style of play, it's not like that anymore, right? We're not grouping up and sieging the turret. Instead, we're going right to dragon. We're taking the dragon, and if they want to come fight us for it, we're going to kill them. So the way that Anivia wants to accomplish things simply is not the optimal style. You can still see guys like, well, really, only Froggen, because he's the Anivia god, right? He can still do it, but he's the exception, not the example. So I will say I'm glad you brought her up, because I forgot to mention her. I'd say she's one of the most outdated kits. She might have the most outdated kits in all of mid lane, like, legitimately.
Oh, outdated kits. What about Malzahar? That one was kind of, I was on the fence about, because he could go for a rework, but I mean, that kit, anything you change about him would just change the lore of Malzahar. His dots are so unique, his voidlings. I mean, everything about him is really kind of cool, but he's slow. He's not really viable in team fights, and he dies really fast. So I'm not sure if he's even worth keeping around. So what do you think of him?
He's not really problematic, but he doesn't have... I think the main reason why, we've seen him book a couple times, I think he's... Evil Genius played him once. And, I think it's that he, again, doesn't have, his strengths aren't as defined. He's kind of one of the more older, kind of more ambiguous control mages that, while he may still have certain things that can give him viability in situations, overall his kit just needs... And again, remember that Malzahar was reworked in, 2015. He's already been reworked once. So, it's the kind of thing where, again, how do we update this champion without losing what makes them themselves in terms of their core identity? And he may fall into that category, which is why he hasn't been touched. I mean, like I said, I happen to actually have a lot of games on Malzahar, and I can say, what I do like about him is that his strengths are very well defined. You pretty much know what you're going to get. He's going to auto-push the lane. He's going to suppress somebody with R. That's basically all he's there for. And that's a pretty binary kit. Now, binary kits aren't always bad, because sometimes a kid has something easy for people to play if they, don't know the game as well, or like me, have terrible mechanics. But I will say that definitely if we're talking about healthiness for the game, his kit is definitely lacking.
Yeah, especially when you start thinking of who's going to be mid lane. You have Azirs, LeBlancs, Akalis, and not right. saying that you can't go up against, Malzahar can't go up against these characters, but it's going to be kind of, can you imagine a LeBlanc roaming? And Malzahar?
He loses all three of those matchups.
Exactly. It's just everything about that is just bad. He's just not good enough to stay in the game. And here's what. Ivern, yes, I think, is a troll. I think that's a troll jungle. I don't even think that was viable. Somebody was like, okay, this sounds cool. Let's put it into action. And we got Ivern, and I think it's trash.
Again, really unique things of his kit that, because he can just, auto-farm camps and, friends of the jungle. When he first came out and he was very strong, it's because, holy crap, his abilities are good. The only thing that's going to hold him back is if his stats don't match up. If he's so flimsy and so terrible, that is, his overall base stats don't justify how unique and cool his kit is, right? And that's kind of what happened. Ivern now is too weak to justify any of the cool things he can do. His ultimate does not have the potency it used to. And you're right, it's kind of once he was put there, we kind of left him untouched, it's kind of he was really good. And then we didn't really figure out how to make him reintegrated, healthfully within the game.
Here's one for you. Aurelion Sol.
You're breaking my heart.
I love him.
Aurelion.
I love that.
I do too.
He's great. The cosmic, the celestial dragon. I mean, that is so cool. I mean, everything about the design. I mean, he's got his little things going around him, and he can jettison forward. I mean, that is so cool, but he's also really ass.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, it's the kind of thing where it's again, he was, the idea and the concept was cool, but it never really felt well balanced out within the game. And, there wasn't even ever really a point where I felt he was incredibly overpowered either. It was just, there were certain things, basically, for him to be balanced, there were certain things that just kind of got, put into the ground for him. And also, I think as the game, has gotten more mobile in different ways, we have Talon who can hop over walls now, the uniqueness of his kit has less value than it used to because of the new champions. You know what I mean?
No, absolutely. I mean, it was cool for 2 seconds, and then it's not cool anymore. And you want to play these champions that look awesome, and you end up with, what is this garbage? what did I do to myself?
I love Aurelion Sol. I've tried playing him, and I'm so bad at it. So, if I was to see him more on the LCS stage, just born solo queue, I'd be happy. I do. He's one of my favorite champion designs. And especially if we're talking about champions that have come out in the last 3 or 4 years, he's up there for me big time. But I agree, from a gameplay perspective, his kit has not aged well, despite only coming out in late 2015 or whatever that was.
Okay, but I'm not all doom and gloom. I'm not all about removing. There's a couple of reworks in my mind, and I want Twisted Fate to get a rework. I think there's so much potential with him that if they just tweak him a little bit, maybe just quality of life, he could be a huge contender. He's so awesome. He can be all over the board. He could be everywhere and nowhere. That's Twisted Fate. And I really like him. I think he would do a lot better right now with the way the game is going if they gave him a little bit of juice. I think he could really pop.
Yeah, I think that the cool thing about Twisted Fate is while his kit is old, the things that he brings are still valuable, right? Like he, like he has basically a mini teleport in his kit, and teleport has only become more and more valuable, like to the top level of play. I love his wild cards. I love that they have different effects, and they never feel like really, in my opinion, unbalanced. Like if you get gold carded by Twisted Fate, chances are you let him get too close, and that's the thing. The thing that holds him back in situations is that he's very low mobility and he's also very flimsy. Like if you have enough people who want to dive him, like he's just gonna die. Even back in 2015, when Edward Gaming won the 2015 LPL Spring Championship over in China, they won the game, and their mid laner Pawn at the time picked Twisted Fate and like did Twisted Fate things in the later half of the game. But the way they almost lost was because he picked Twisted Fate, and then the team just dove him. He ended the game in a win, mind you, a championship win. He ended 0-6-10 because he just got completely destroyed. And I think that exemplifies, like, if people want to have Twisted Fate, like, if they just want to kill him under their tower, like, he's gonna die. And that's a big problem because that's a known factor. Like, that's a certainty. No matter whether he takes Flash, Ghost, whatever, like, he's simply too immobile and too squishy to often justify picking in a game that right now is prioritizing the Aatroxes, the Aurelias of the world, right?
And that brings me to Zyra. Zyra's another one where she's a really good kit. She has lots of bursts, great potential, and then she just can die so fast. I mean, in a blink of an eye, she's not even in the fight anymore. Yeah. And that's another shame because she has the burst, has a great kit to it. Geez, give little health here. You know, Zonya's is only going to take her so far.
Yeah, no, definitely. That's only, exactly. It's only one item, right? And I do think, though, I agree with you. I think that, like, Zyra could use a few quality life touches. I don't think she's in the position where she needs as much help as some of the other kits you mentioned. This is a great list, by the way. Well played. But I think that, actually, well, I do agree Zyra needs some changes. I think she's better than people are letting on right now. I'm actually surprised they haven't seen her in competitive play more as, like, a pick to teams. Something they're very willing to pick. Blind pick Tahm Kench and Braum just because of the safety they provided without thinking, man, if someone was ballsy enough to pick a ranged support into me like a Zyra or a Nami, they could totally destroy this lane. I would like to see more professional players do that, and I think Zyra would be an excellent pick for that, but I think you're right. I think the inadequacy of how she's so squishy, she's not fast, right? And you basically can't go and ward alone with her. It's too dangerous, you know? And I think that's a big factor for sure.
And my last one, Zilene. I really like his kit. He has lots of utility, a lot to bring to the table, but man, he's so gimmicky. There has to be something else to him. But I feel like there's potential for a rework with Zilene.
When you think about it, Zilene's kit makes sense in a vacuum, but in the grand scheme of the modern meta, any champion that only has one spell that does damage is frankly going to have a hard time, I think.
Yeah.
Like, the only other champion who does that is Soraka, and the only reason that works is because all three of her other abilities are heals. So she's just this giant ambulance for her team, right? Whereas Zilean does have that, like, one, I bring someone back to life. But, again, one-dimensional kit, only one damaging ability. I think situationally he's fine. We've seen him around the world competitively a little bit here and there. But, again, there are tweaks that could be made there, for sure.
I think a couple of tweaks, because when you ban a lot of really good champions and then you get a Tahm Kench instead of this guy, that says a lot. Because Tahm, I don't think, is very strong. There's a lot of things about him that they take because it's a safe pick more than it being anything else.
You're completely right, actually. This is even a big problem in North American LCS, in my opinion. You know, actually, right now, we're not going to count China for this stat because the LPL's been paused because of the coronavirus outbreak, but North America has actually selected Tahm Kench in a professional game more than Europe and Korea combined. And I think that we rely too much on it because we're like, oh, we have a Felios misfortune in our strong 80 carries, so let's get Nanny Tahm Kench and make sure he can save them, right? And objectively, that makes sense. I don't think Tahm Kench is objectively a good pick. Like, as a support in lane, I think that he has a get-out-jail-free card for the carry, right? So I think, like, if some teams were more daring to play the Zyras, even the Nami's, or hell, even a Sona support if they want to get really frisky with it, you know, like, something that can exploit Tahm Kench, because I agree with you. Ever since his gray health was changed, he doesn't have that same level of beefiness in the bot lane as a pure support, and that should be getting exploited more than it is, specifically in North America.
Yeah, and then also when champion's in his mouth, he goes slower too, which I'm like, how does he not get punished for that?
Right.
If you're going slow, I'm going to trap you, and then I'm going to kill you.
Yeah, and he's already not fast as it is, right?
Right.
So I would like to see teams a little bit more willing to just fully punish Tahm Kench, because I don't think he's the tanky force he was. And while he still can, you know, just kind of nab anybody out of a bad situation, that doesn't mean he's always going to be able to get out himself like he used to. So I hope that, especially in the LCS, we see ports being more willing to take some aggressive champions into Tahm Kench and exploit him early on when he can't really do anything in lane besides kind of be a punching bag.
Well, Nick, thank you so much for joining me. I appreciate you being here. For those listening, where can they find more information about you?
Feel free to follow me at Nick Geraci on Twitter. That's NickGeraciE. I also produce content primarily in League of Legends, but all around esports and gaming for Invan Global. With my colleagues, we currently cover League of Legends and other games in Europe, South Korea, and North America primarily, but a lot of other stuff too. So if you are interested in this kind of stuff, it's a good place to follow me.
This has been the Mason Vera Payne Show. Thanks for listening. Can't wait to hear more? Head to WGNradio.com for exclusive content by Mason. Also, follow Mason on Facebook and Twitter @MasonVeraPayne, that's all one word, and don't forget to share the show with your friends.